clock in the afternoon, because
Yeah.
not everybody driving around at 2 in the afternoon wants to hear that. It's sort of a public billboard that you're subjected to. Same with the post. If I could have a sign at the bottom of my road saying no mail from, XYZ, then I probably would do that. But these leaflets are going to show up at your door if you want them or not, and you will have to look at it before you probably just stick it in your paper recycling.
Yeah.
That's where most of my mail goes, truth be
Or, get a bird specifically so that you can put it at the bottom of the cage for the bird to poop
told.
on it.
Bottom of the cage.
Yeah.
All right. But my point is, there is maybe this warrants a discussion at that level. If they are passionate about this, talk to your MP and say to them, look, this is appropriate, this is not appropriate. I understand the position that Canada Post has taken on this.
Yeah.
And it seems like it was a hot potato at the post office, because some of the delivery people were like, the managers had their hands tied. Everyone was, very understanding, but the orders came from up on high that the post office delivers the post.
Yeah.
This counts as post. It's not an unmailable material. It is mailable, therefore you will mail it. Unlike the package I had ordered 3 weeks ago, which apparently is unmailable. So we'll see about
Did
that.
it
But
contain food?
because it contains what?
Food? Spoilables? If it's
No.
spoilables, it has to go through a different system.
This is true. This
Did you
is true.
mail someone a banana?
I'll my delivery woes aside. I don't know. I think it's interesting. I think it's good that there are these discussions happening. It is unfortunate that the postal workers have been really put at the forefront of this. And I think it's worth mentioning that Campaign for Life Coalition, they're going to send more of them.
Okay.
They're like, okay, so people think there was a line there. There was no line there, so we're going to go up to that point again. And they have more mail that they'd like to provide. I think they want to issue their own voting guide to the people of New Brunswick.
Okay.
But New Brunswickers are very smart people. They can make their own decisions on what motivates them, who they want to vote for, if they want to support the premier that's there, if they want to support the folks who are running for office that take a different stance on trans rights. We'll see. There is an election coming up, I believe, in October, in New Brunswick. But yeah, Sebastian, should they deliver the post? The eternal question.
I mean, they should deliver the post. As for this post, I don't know. Unfortunately, this is the flip side of free speech, is that sometimes you have to put up with other people's speech you strongly disagree with, just that you also have the right to have your own speech that other people strongly disagree with. It's the unfortunate mirror that sometimes it's your turn, unfortunately.
Well, like I said, if this is something that is a strong issue, then it should be something that the post office gets a directive from members of parliament.
But also, yeah, the flip side of that free speech thing is you also have the freedom of speech to call your local representative and
And
tell them
complain about it.
you complain about it. Yeah.
Oh,
Exactly.
by the way, I owe my local elected council representative an apology.
Oh, my.
I made the illusion that my local representative voted against, voted in a way that there would be higher transit prices.
Okay.
I followed up. I did some due diligence. That was not the vote, and that was not
Oh.
how we voted. So, for my local councillor, I apologize. I never said the writing. I never said the name. But if he's listening, I want to make sure that I confirm I did fact check and with his office, and I had misinterpreted the council vote at the time. All right, we are jumping to our next track. This is Pieces by Laura Kelsey, and we will be back just after this.
They say that you know me, but darling, it's only 'cause you spent your
and welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
And I want to talk to you about brain health outcomes.
Of course, yes. Yes.
Exactly. Now, there has been a history of dementia in my family, and certainly it is something that I am concerned about. It is a cruel, cruel disease. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that diseases have intentions. You know, I don't think there's one disease that's going to be like, oh, I'm going to particularly be mean this time. No, I don't think that there's the personalities
except
behind
maybe
them.
Parasites, but that's.
True,
that's
maybe.
An exception, yeah.
But no, anyone who's had exposure with folks who have gone through dementia and things similar to it know that it's a nasty disease for sure. We often see studies of, you know, gay people way more likely to insert really anything. I mean, I've seen cases made that gay people have higher rates
from. Gay people are willing to insert anything.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize. insert medical condition and close.
Uh-huh. Yes,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Sorry, nice catch there. I made an.
Well, I did work in a gay bar. I'm very good at double entendres. But yeah, people in the LGBT community do have a disproportionately high rate of having. Actually, quite a substantial list of medical conditions. Things like Crohn's disease, for some reason, are more common. A lot of autoimmune conditions are more common in the community. And, I mean, for all you could make jokes, you know, colorful or otherwise, funny or not, about the relationship between IBS and the gay community, the high rates of Crohn's disease amongst, for example, lesbians, you cannot track down to a joke about butt sex. That is something else. There's something going on in the LGBT world that is causing that. And a lot of people, I've seen people jump to the fact that like being gay, you know, causes it, but you can have things that are downstream effects.
Mm-hmm.
That being gay, and that's actually what being LGBTQ or really just being any minority, but especially LGBT, the stress that puts on you can have downstream effects. And that is what this study is.
So I have some details here. This was a study released in the journal Neurology.
Okay.
It's got one name. It's a good journal.
Usually one name, and the more generic it is, the more prestigious it is. Like one of the most prestigious.
There is a journal called The Brain, I think. Isn't there a Brain?
Well, there's one called Mind, and that one's really
hard. Oh, that's the one I was thinking of.
And there's one called Science, and Science is one of the hardest journals in the world to get published in. Like,
and then Nature.
Also. Life. Yeah, Nature and Life are very, very, very prestigious biology journals.
Well, we're talking about the journal Neurology, and they were looking specifically at a survey. It is the All of Us Research Program. It's a U.S. population study, and it had a look at over 400,000 Americans between 2017 and 2022. Of those 400,000 plus, they identified 38,500 who were in a sexual minority and 4,400 who were in a gender minority. So they were looking at sexual and gender minorities in particular. So when you've got a sample size of, I think the group as a whole they were looking at was 39,600. Mm-hmm. When you've got a sample size that big,
yeah.
You can be pretty confident in the results that you see.
Well, you can be confident you're not going to get sampling errors, but there could still be experimental artifacts, but that's a completely different problem. But yeah, you're saying that the assuming the experiment or the survey is well designed, then the results, you don't really need to do fancy statistics on it to prove that what you're doing is fair and accurate. Like you don't need to do your p-values. There's not going to be random drift or anything.
Exactly. Now, the long and short of it is they look at those 400,000 people and they've got your 40,000 gays and queer folks. And they found that of the queer folks, the sexual and gender minorities, they were 15% higher odds of having brain health outcomes such as dementia. They did a secondary analysis. I think they even did a tertiary analysis, and they found, yeah, much higher rates of dementia, higher rates of late life depression, and specifically trans women at a higher rate of stroke. All of these things looking pretty grim. Now, one of the things that this is attributed.
Now, when you say, just a sec, when you say higher rate, do you mean relative
to
the queer community?
Compared to
the general population.
The general population,
okay.
i.e. straight people.
Everyone else, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Compared to everyone else, yeah. 15% higher odds. Or 50, they're that group of people, 15% more likely to have an incidence of dementia or other brain health outcomes. It's right. really hard to like find the right words to phrase it correctly, yeah, but yeah. yes, folks, you know what I mean.
If yeah, yeah. Well, the hardest thing about science is like, getting the phrasing right sometimes.
This is true. This is.
I'm not even being glib. Sometimes it really is the hardest thing about science is getting the phrasing right.
Exactly. Now, some folks have pointed this towards the idea of really just the outcome of minority stress. For our listening audience, what is minority stress?
Well, it's basically what I said. Well, actually, I didn't say, didn't I? I implied it. So the idea behind minority stress is that because the world is not really built for you and you're sort of fundamentally an outsider, I've seen people say everything. I don't think it's everything, but I do think it's many things in life. You need to do extra steps in order to access some pretty basic things. So, probably the most obvious instance of minority stress are people with sensory-based disabilities. Yes, they can read a book. Many of them can drive a car. They can hold down perfectly good jobs, but first they need to learn how to use the keyboards where you know, for the blind, where the braille pins popping up, or maybe they have to, you know, get a special vehicle that only has handles because they can't use their feet, or maybe they have to do this other thing or this other thing or this other thing. And they're having to do extra work just to be at the base level that everyone else is at. And for LGBT folks, a lot of that comes down to the social aspects, that for us to meet other people, to make friends, maintain friendships, maintain relationships, maintain family relationships, interact with religion, interact with any kind of formal institution around family structure, aging, or youth, you have to do extra steps just to get to the baseline. And no one of those extra steps really is a big deal. Because it's just like, it's an extra 30 seconds out of your day. But the claim, and there's a fair deal of evidence towards this, especially when it comes to friendships and relationships, it's additive. And over time, those extra steps can generate stress, or because the rules are sometimes different, people just mess up. There are people in the community, unfortunately, who have a horrible time maintaining friendships because it takes them, like, they can't learn it just in kindergarten because in their mind, there's like another dimension to having friendships with other men and women, and they just interact with the world differently, and then they become sexually active, and then that confuses things, and it just takes them longer sometimes. So these extra steps are additive over time, and it's exhausting and stressful.
Some people
do experience minority stress, and some people don't because they just have social networks that help them compensate so that, you know, maybe you're from a family that accepts your sexuality and like sets you up with people. So there's a barrier gone. So it's not universal. I've seen people claim that it is universal, and I'm not sure about that. And I don't think it's in all instances, but I think it's a real thing that affects some people. And when it does affect you, it affects you hard because it is cumulative and you don't notice, you're the frog who doesn't notice the boiling water.
So the researchers here have really, they have stressed,
yeah,
and I mean stress, that being gay does not give you dementia. Like, it is not, you know, I am queer, therefore way more likely to, you know, 15% more likely I'm going to be struck down with dementia. That's not it. That's absolutely not it. But what they are saying is that queer folks are more, you know, because, and we all know this, because gay and trans folks are discriminated against by some people. There is a social stigma against queer folks by some people. And it is the impact of that stress. It is the impact of the depression from that. It is the impact from that anxiety, which leads to these outcomes. The American Cancer Society found earlier this year in 2024 as well, that these very same reasonings lead to increased cancer risk factors in American queer folks. Does that mean being gay will give you cancer? Absolutely not. But it does mean that if you are gay and suffering from someone discriminating against you, or the all the scenarios you outlined, Sebastian, you're potentially more likely to have some of these indicators that will or will not get noticed, or you may or may not have access, and therefore you may, like, you know, potentially have cancer. And it's so widespread and happens to enough people that as a group, 15% more likely to have things such as dementia.
And this is where you're lucky to actually, I mean, I don't want to say you're lucky to have me around, but in this instance, you're lucky to have me around. When you come up with a correlational study like this, and that's what it is, it's fundamentally just a correlational study. There is a correlation between being gay and having dementia, or in this other study you mentioned, being gay and having cancer. Correlation does not equal causation, but you can say there is an arrow. It's just, until there's further studies, we cannot say that A causes B, B causes A, or some yet to be discovered C causes both A and B. So correlations, I don't, a lot of people, they really, they turn their nose up at correlations, but I think correlations are often the first step to a real discovery. And I definitely buy into the idea of minority stress as being a cause for at least some people, at least some of the time. But there could also be some undetermined C factor that we haven't identified yet that sort of colors the whole situation as well. But discovering that there is a strong correlation worth looking into is always the first step. And this is an important discovery. Scientifically.
Absolutely. Well, we will keep an eye on that and other things. There was another study that came out that caught my attention recently. And that they were looking at the outcome of trans youth in the States. So in 2023, there were over 500 pieces of legislation introduced in states across the USA that impacted either gender affirming care, access to toilets, participation in sports, wherever. Now, the Trevor Project is the largest sort of queer youth phone line helpline in the United States. It is a massive organization that deals with tens and tens of thousands of calls of trans youth in desperate situations. And what they did is they looked at a data set of over 60,000 trans youth from 2018 to 2022. And they've got a data range. They're looking at 19 states in particular. And they can see the number of calls related to, you know, suicide ideation or other matters before a piece of legislation is introduced, immediately after a piece of legislation is introduced, and then a couple of years later, like over the next couple of years. And what they found is when there is legislation that impacts or curtails the rights of trans people in that particular state, there is a small rise in suicide ideation immediately after this legislation is introduced. But most interestingly, the following two or three years around for those 13 to 17-year-olds in particular, there is a 72% jump in average, averaged out across these 19 states in suicide ideation amongst those 13 to 17-year-olds. So they're looking at different states, legislation happening at different times. They're looking at the 2 years after, and consistently, legislation introduced, small bump, bigger impact as that legislation comes into effect in communities and sort of trickles down. When people change the law, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a while for these things to realize an impact. And what the Trevor Project is saying, that according to our numbers, which are in the tens of thousands, there is a clear pattern here in terms of these spikes as a result. I think it's, you know, you hear people saying, oh, you know, this legislation is terrible for X, Y, Z reason. Being able to point to such a significant amount of data and research put into it, I think reinforces a lot of those points. The reasons to be so careful when legislating in this area.
Yeah, the only thing I like better than a study is a well-designed study.
This is true. All right. Speaking of well-designed, the legislation that passed in Thailand, we are absolutely thrilled. I think we mentioned this back in June when the legislation was approved by the parliament.
It was proposed, but it was approved last week.
It was signed into law by the King of Thailand just last week, but the legislation passed earlier in June. It won't come into effect in till January, but Thailand will become one of the first countries in the region that will allow for same-sex marriage. The law says it is a union between two individuals, and I believe it also impacts some other rights in Thailand. I think you noted a couple of other ones.
Adoption and inheritance.
Exactly. Yeah,
it doesn't list it here, but often there's a whole bunch of other things that comes with it, like partner benefits, hospital visitation. I really garbled that one. It's not listed here, but there's often just a whole, being able to be someone's, not benefactor, the person who executes the will, like a whole bunch of things comes out of same-sex marriage often that isn't obvious necessarily.
Exactly. All right. We are also keeping an eye on a protest in Manhattan, specifically outside of the World Bank. Now, the World Bank and the IMF cut off a lot of funding to Uganda after Uganda introduced what was, and I think remains, some of the world's most anti-gay legislation that there is. Now, the IMF and World Bank pulled the funding, but potentially might turn the taps back on, assuming that none of those dollars go to people that are impacted by this law. So we'll see how they navigate it, and maybe we'll dive into the discussion of that next week as to whether or not
earlier we had
this is something that they should do.
We had a very involved conversation earlier today about sanctions and exactly when they work, when they don't work, when they're a good idea, when they're a bad idea. We could probably talk about that for an hour. I don't think we will.
But we have run out of today's show. We've run out of time in today's show. We're playing out with Taboo by Jenna King. I have been Luke Smith.
And I've been Sebastian. And thank you for listening.
Canada is there when it seems no one else is. Are you struggling with an LGBT issue? Maybe you're a parent, a family member, employer, a coworker, an educator, a healthcare provider. PFLAG is Canada's only national organization that helps all Canadians who are struggling with issues of sexual orientation and gender identity. PFLAG Canada supports, educates, and provides resources 24/7. Visit pflagcanada.ca.
Shabba dabba doo, shabba dabba dee, it's 5 o'clock over here with me.